Morning, everyone. I want to thank everyone for coming to the breakfast this morning, and especially thank Rabbi Uri Feldman, the Manal of Yeshivas Ar Yisrael, for taking out from his schedule to come and give us the shiur. As many of you do know, Rabbi Feldman already is the Manal of Yeshivas Ar Yisrael, a yeshiva that's been open already for four years, and Baruch Hashem has been very successful. And we wish him continued hatzlacha in his being Marbitz Torah here in our community. I also want to take this opportunity to thank Danny Betran for putting together this wonderful breakfast.
Mm-hmm. Ooh. Yeah.
Okay. And without further ado, Rabbi Feldman.
Thank you, Rabbi Rabinowitz. I was here a few years ago, maybe 4 years ago, for Thanksgiving, and apparently I have to be careful what I say because Rabbi Rabinowitz remembered, and he said that if it's time for seconds, a double dose, so a second dose of a shear. So you gotta be careful what you say in Malden; it could come back to you. I want to say also that I can see that the community has been shtaying; it's been growing. It's wonderful to come and to visit both Beruchnias and Begashmias. The breakfast, Dr. Betran, has definitely improved since the last visit. And and in the Gashmi and the Ruchnias as well, it's so nice to be daven here and to come and share Divrei Torah with you. Taking time out of your schedule on a legal holiday is something that's notable, something that that is inspiring. Last week in the parsha, we read about Naphtali Ayala Shlucha. Naphtali, the Shevet Naphtali, is like a swift Ayala, some sort of deer. And Hanoisin Imre Shafer, they spread the word of Torah. Now, as far as we know, according to Chazal, Naphtali was not known for their teaching of Torah. Naphtali were more of the balabatim, if you were. They were more of the laymen of the community, as opposed to Yisachar and Levi, which are known for their Torah study. But the idea that we're taught is that the Medrash says that Naphtali was actually five times greater in their Torah reward than that of Shevet Yisachar. And the explanation I think was that I've heard and that I think it makes a lot of sense is that they are nice and Imre Shefer. They grab the opportunities to learn even when it's not so easy. Right? Yisachar and Levi, they have the unique opportunity to sit in a Beis Medrash and learn and to teach. But Naphtali, who has to learn on the subway, on the train, grab a little few minutes here and a few minutes there, and certainly on an off day to come and to hear a shiur, that has a tremendous reward, and the schar is doubled, and in this case, fivefold, as the Medrash says. So I give you a bracha that they should continue throughout this year, the learning and the growth, and that Rabinowitz should be matzliach with all the tzarchi tzibur ve'emuna that he puts into the kehillah. You should see a lot of nachas from each other.
Amen.
In this week's parsha, in Parsha Shmos, we're taught that Moshe Rabbeinu, as a young baby, as a very young child, once he was rescued by Basia, by the daughter of Paro, he would not nurse from any of the Egyptian women. That Basia would, any of the wet nurses that he was given, he refused to nurse from them until the point where Miriam suggested that Yocheved be brought, that we'll call the one of the Jewish women, and that and she was hired to be the wet nurse of Moshe Rabbeinu. So Rashi says right there, Rashi says is the reason why is Pia Shasa Ladabi Mashchina. The mouth that's going to eventually speak with the Shechina, it's not appropriate for that mouth to go and nurse from a non-Jewish woman and to have non-kosher milk and non-Jewish milk in his body. The concept of nursing from a non-Jewish woman, in fact, is in Shulchan Aruch, and if it should happen, right, back in the day before there was formula, this was more of a prevalent problem that needed to be addressed, and the halacha is, in fact, that a Jew is allowed to nurse from a non-Jewish woman. That's the halacha, as is Paskin Shulchan Aruch. The Shach says that even though that it's permissible, but really you should not do it. You should, it's preferable not to hire a non-Jewish woman to nurse your child. Rather, you should spend the money to find a Jewish wet nurse. And the reason he gives is because of Moshe, just like Moshe Rabbeinu, the Pia Medaber im Ashchina, that the mouth that eventually will speak to HaKadosh Baruch Hu should not be nursing from a non-Jewish woman. So Moshe Feinstein points out, he says, wait a second. We're talking about a little child here, be it in Malden, be it in Poland, be it wherever it may be. We're not talking about Moshe Rabbeinu here. So why is there a problem with nursing to a regular child, for you and I would call just a regular Jewish child? Why is there a problem of giving him from a non-Jewish woman's milk? To which Moshe Feinstein says, is that the way we have to look at our children and the chinuch of our children is that we need to look at them as if they were potentially the next Moshe Rabbeinu. We have to look at each one of our children and educate them with that understanding that they are going to be the Pia Medaber Im HaShechina, the mouth that's going to speak with the Shechina, which is a tremendous charge, which is a tremendous responsibility on each one of us as we educate our own children and children of our community, right, that we have to have that in our minds and our hearts at all times. So with that, I want to speak a little bit today about the halachas that pertain to chinuch of children. So let me just pass these out. A tremendous resource, if you're not familiar with it yet, is Sfaria. It's a website. It's a .org website, Sfaria.org, that puts together Mar Mekomos. So the Hebrew text is from the Gemara. The English is open source, so it's not always 100% credible, but we'll use that just as a base point, and I'll translate, and if there are any discrepancies, we'll talk about it. the other thing, as an introduction, there's a sefer from Reb Simcha Bunim Kohn, Children in Halacha. If you're not familiar with it, it's a phenomenal resource for both practical halachas as it pertains to children, as well as a tremendous sefer. There's a lot of wonderful discussions in halacha and how he has a lot of the background to how he comes to the final halacha. So I used his sefer in preparation for today's shiur. So the Gemara in Yevamos, Daf Kuf Yud Gimel Amud Beis, has a discussion that we might think is actually very probable and pertinent to something that we can easily relate to such a story. The Gemara begins as follows: Rabbi Yitzchak Bar Bisna Irchasule Miftachi the Bei Midrasha. Rabbi Yitzchak, the son of Bisna, lost the keys to the Beis Medrash on Shabbos. So the Beis Medrash, the shul, there were keys to get in. They didn't have the combination locks. They had keys. And without an Erev, without the key, it presented a big problem. How are they going to get into the shul on Shabbos? So he lost these keys to the Beis Medrash of Birshus HaRabim in the public domain, B'Shabbat on Shabbos. Asa l'kamei d'Rapidas. He came to Rapidas. Amar lei. So Rapidas told him the solution is as follows: Divar tali v'talia, gather young boys and girls, v'tailu hasam, and let them, as you would say in Yiddish, dray around. They should like walk around. They should play around in that area in the Rishus HaRabim. Dimishkaki luhu. If they'll find it, ma'isa luhu, they'll bring it to you. Okay, so listen to the solution, what he says. As he says that, gather some young children, let them play in the area that you think you lost the key in it, they'll find the key, presumably we should hope they'll find the key, and they'll bring it to you. Okay, so many of us have this, before I started learning this, I know I did, you have this notion that if he's only a child, so a boy under bar mitzvah, a girl under bas mitzvah, that they're not mitzvah, they're not obligated in mitzvahs, so whatever they do is fine. It's not a problem. Whatever they do on their own is fine. Which seems to be what the Gemara is saying over here. Even though you and I would not be able to go pick up the keys and bring it to shul, but we can have children playing there in the street, let them find the key, and they'll bring it to us. And that's fine on Shabbos. And that's the solution that he gives for this dilemma. Alma. So we see from here, the Gemara continues on Kufya Dalet. Alma, so we see from here, katan oicha nevelois ein bezdin mitzuvin lafrishai. When a child is eating nevela being non-kosher meat, bezdin is not commanded to separate him from doing that. So if you're witnessing, you're watching a child doing a Torah violation, be it eating non-kosher meat, be it violating the Shabbos, whatever that Torah violation might be, you are not commanded, Bezdin is not commanded, and you as a Jew, an upright, outstanding Jew, are not commanded to stop him from doing it. That's what the Gemara sees from here. If we're allowing the children to play in the street and to pick up the keys on Shabbos and we don't have to stop them, we see that Ein Bezdin Mitzuvin Lafrishai, we don't have to stop him from doing this. So the Gemara rejects, the Gemara tries to bring a proof to that. Let's try to support this statement. A person is not allowed to instruct a child, and it goes on to the next page, is not allowed to instruct a child to bring him a key or bring him a stamp. You're allowed to let him cut down things on Shabbos, cut down crops, whatever it may be, on Shabbos. Menichu Zorik, you can let him throw in the public domain. So what it means to say is that you're not allowed to instruct a child to go and violate Shabbos, but if he's doing on his own, you can allow him to continue to do that. Okay, so there's a very important distinction over here that the Gemara is making. The Gemara is saying is that you're not allowed to instruct a child to violate Shabbos, whether it's for you or for him. In any event, you're not allowed to tell him to do something wrong. So in this case, the Gemara presents, you're not allowed to tell him to throw the object out of the public domain. Can you toss me the key? That's forbidden. But what you're allowed to do is to allow him to play in the street and to find the key and bring it to you, and you don't have to stop him from doing that. So that's a very big difference. And it's a very important point that we need to make when we're going through these halachas about instructing and having children do malacha for us on Shabbos. So in a practical sense, without getting to the details, which we'll get to shortly, but you're not allowed to tell a child to go and violate Shabbos. You can't tell the child, go and turn on the light for me. Okay? You can't tell the child, carry this when there's no Eruv. Okay? Carry it through the Rishus HaRabim. It doesn't matter how young that child may be, you're not allowed to do that. But what you can do is if he's doing it on his own, he can continue to do it and you don't have to stop him from doing it. That's what the Gemara is presenting here. Okay, and we're going to get to a little bit more fine-tune the details. So we have a support to this idea that a person does not have to stop the child from doing the malacha. Amar Abaye says not so fast. It's not such a good proof. Because toilish ba'atzat she'enonakav, it could be we're talking about a person detaching a plant from an already, from a pot, which doesn't have any holes in it, and therefore it's not technically de'araisa t'lisha, it's not technically detaching according to the Torah, it's only rabbinic in nature. And Zayik Rikamalist Rabbanan, we're talking about a case where we're allowing the child to throw in a rabbinic domain, in something which is only prohibited midrabbanan, and that's why we're allowing the child to continue to do it. But there is no permission, that you can, not necessarily is there permission to allow the child to continue on as he had started. So far so good?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So let's continue on. The Gemara is one more proof that I'm going to go into, and that is the next source, Tashma. Oyved Kechavim, this Gemara also is found in Shabbos. Oyved Kechavim Shabbat Lichbais. If God forbid there's a fire that breaks out on Shabbos, and a non-Jew comes to extinguish the fire. Okay? Ein Oymim Loikaveh. You cannot instruct the non-Jew to extinguish the fire. Reason being, anybody? Why can't you tell the guy to put out the fire on Shabbos?
It's
it's for you and not for him necessarily.
Right, the concept of Amir La'akum is we're not allowed to instruct non-Jews to do malacha for us on Shabbos. But on the other hand, if he comes to put out the fire, you don't have to say Al Tichba. You don't have to start, tell him, don't do it at Shabbos. You can allow him to do the act of extinguishing the fire. Bipnei, reason is, why can you allow him to put it out on his own? Because a non-Jew's shvisa, his rest, is not incumbent on us. We're not instructed, the Torah does not obligate us to make sure that the non-Jews don't do work on Shabbos. They're allowed to do work for themselves. So even though he might be doing it for our benefit, but at the end of the day, he knows that we're going to pay him back in some way, that there's going to be granted a favor on his behalf, so he's doing it really for himself. That's what the Mefarshim say when he's coming to put out this fire. On the other hand, katan habalech bais, if a child comes to try to extinguish this fire, oimrim loy al tichba, in that situation, you have to tell the child, don't put it out. Sheshvisasai aleihem. Okay? So in this situation, you have to tell the child to stop because you're commanded that the child not do work on Shabbos. So this is a kasha, this is a question on our previous assumption. Our assumption was that when a child is doing an act on his own, a Torah violation, you are not instructed to stop him. And here it sounds like the child's doing an act of extinguishing a fire on Shabbos, and you have to instruct him to stop. You need to stop him from violating this law. Okay, good question? Mm-hmm. Okay, the Gemara has an answer. Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Ba'oisa al das aviv. If he's doing it for his father, he knows that his father would want it, either his father directly told him or indirectly hinted that he would appreciate him putting out this fire. So when the child is coming to extinguish this fire, he's not doing it for himself. He's doing it for his father. So therefore, the Gemara is telling us that all of these, this whole conversation that we began, that a child is allowed to do, or when a child does, I should say, when a child violates a Torah law, and we're not obligated, the adults are not obligated to stop him, that's only if he's doing it for himself. If he's doing it for the adults, if he's doing it, whether it's for the father or another adult, we are obligated to stop the child in that situation. Okay, that's an important caveat. So even though as we said before, if a child is turning on and off a light on Shabbos, you don't have to tell him to stop. But if he's doing it for you or me, then you have to tell him, right, he must stop. Right, Bezdin is mitzuvan la'afrisha. We are commanded to stop if he's doing it for us. Yeah.
If he's doing it for another cousin.
Oh, okay. That's going to be okay. That's a good point. Okay.
Or
for himself. Okay. So if he's doing it for himself.
For himself, it's not a problem.
Right. Certainly for himself is not a problem. But even if it's not himself, if it's for another child, that should be okay. Okay, we're going to get to one, we're going to fine-tune it a little bit further, but so far what we've seen is that should be okay. The problem is when he's doing it for an adult, which more likely than not, it could be very well be, so you left your lights on in the bedroom, you're not allowed to tell the child to go turn off the light, and the same thing goes, if the child comes to go put it out, you would have to tell him, don't do it. Or let me say, let me give a different example. I'm sorry, because I'm going to take that example back. Yeah. Because turning off the light might be only Drabbanan. Yeah. So let's say he's you have your chalent pot was left off. Your crock pot was off. Okay, Friday night you come home from shul, you realize you had turned your crock pot off before Shabbos by accident. So in that situation, it would depend. Right, if the child's doing it because he really likes chalent, so that might be one thing. But if he's doing it because he knows that his parents are would appreciate him turning it back on, so then you would have to tell him not to do that. Okay. We could come up with another example, but if he's doing it for his parents, a malacha, then you would have to stop the child from doing the malacha.
This is the kid that doesn't like chalent.
Yeah, let's say he doesn't like chalent. Okay. Or let's say, you know, the green beans were left off the blech, you know, and he's not going to eat the green beans, but, you know, his parents would appreciate if the green beans were a little bit warmer, so he would try to put it back on the blech. Okay, so right now, to sum up, what we know right now is that for a malacha d'araisa, for a Torah violation, a child who would violate it for himself, we would not be responsible to stop him from doing that. But if he's doing it for us, for an adult, you would have to stop him. And we certainly, in either event, we're not allowed to instruct the child to go and to transgress the Avera. Okay? That's what we know so far. So the Gemara, just to come full circle with this Gemara, the Gemara says, well, wait a second, Gabi Oivikakom Daisaldas Israel Mishari. When a non-Jew does something with for the benefit of the Jew, is that permissible? Right? It has to be parallel. The child is doing it for the benefit of the adult. If the guy is doing it for the benefit of the adult, it's also prohibited. So the Gemara answers, every comment that did not say of it, as we spoke about before, when a non-Jew does it, he's doing it for himself. So what's left ambiguous at the end of the Gemara is what happens on a rabbinic law. The Gemara says specifically about nevelos, things that are asa daraisa. But we know there are many prohibitions that are only rabbinic in nature. So if you have a malacha d'rabbanan or an avera d'rabbanan, are you allowed to instruct the child to do that avera? Remember, a daraisa, Torah law, you're not allowed to instruct him to do, but a rabbinic violation of d'rabbanan, right, are you not allowed to tell him to do it? Okay, everyone's on that question? So the Rashba says as follows. The Rashba in his Chidushim on Yevamos says, Umiu Mashmali, at the beginning of the next source, he says, nonetheless, it's implicit to me to be Surin Shal Divrayim on a rabbinic matter, Mutter Loimar Loi Lechol Beferish. It's permissible to tell him to eat it explicitly. So if you have something which is usher rabbinically to eat, you can tell the child to eat that food, that item, or for whatever violation that might be. Because according to the opinion that we've cited previously, that on a Torah violation, there is an opinion that says that you have to stop a child from doing a Torah violation, but he would agree that on a rabbinic violation you don't have to stop him. We're going to skip the proof. He says, v'kivan shekein, if so, since we establish, this is our halacha, that on a Torah law we are not obligated to stop the child from doing it, B'shal divrayim, where it's underlined, B'shal divrayim matirin boi darga achas yosher. On a rabbinic matter, we go down one darga, one step, matirin boi afil loy malachol, and we are allowed to even tell him to eat it. So if you have something which is asur d'rabbanan in nature, let's just say
chicken and dairy.
Chicken and dairy would be a good example. Chicken and dairy, which is only asur d'rabbanan, you'd be allowed to tell a child to eat that chicken and dairy. Okay? According to this Rashba. Okay? If it was meat and dairy, you would not be able to tell the child to eat it. But if it's chicken and dairy, obviously it has to be kosher chicken, then it would be only rabbinic in nature. Yeah?
Child is doing it for himself, that it's okay, but if he's doing it, say, for somebody else, you know, an adult or whatever, then it's not. Or like, where do we see that, like, how do you get from there to telling somebody to do something that's also using Durabanan. Like, wouldn't one step down be doing something to Durabanan for an adult?
Yeah, that's what that...
Like, here you're saying we can tell him that he, you know, we can tell him to eat the chicken cheese sandwich.
Right.
But how is that only one step? Like, the last thing I remember hearing is if he's doing it for himself, a Torah prohibition, that it's...
Then we don't have to stop him.
Right.
We can't tell him to do it.
Right, but if he's doing it for...
The adult...
An adult...
Then
we'd have to stop
him. Then we would have to stop him. But that for sure...
So wouldn't one step below that be, if he's doing something Durabanan for an adult, you wouldn't have to stop him? Like, how do you get all the way to saying you can be over a mitzvah Durabanan? How is that only one darga from saying that you're not allowed to do the Durabanan for an adult? Because I would think one darga below that would be you are allowed to do the Durabanan for an adult, not you may...
So the point of for the adult is something for Shabbos where it says that you're not that shvisase aleihem, that even when he's doing it on his own for the adult, you're going to have to stop him. Typically, when he does something on his own, he's picking up a nevela, right? He's picking up a non-kosher piece of meat. You don't have to stop him from eating it. You can't tell him to do it, but you don't have to stop him either. For Shabbos, there's something unique that when he's doing it for the adult, you need to say, don't do that. Okay? So, leaving Shabbos on the side for a second, let's go into that, stick with the non-kosher food, that the child is eating it, you don't have to stop him. You're not allowed to tell him to do it, but you don't have to stop him. So, on a Rabbanan, we're going to go down one darga, we're going to go down one step, and say, not only do you not have to stop him, but you can even go and initiate, tell him to do it.
So, Nevela, which is a Doraisa, you can allow him to eat it if he's eating it on his own volition, and you don't, it's
right.
Your concern. Okay, so you're saying the difference with Shabbos is that you have... It's Shvisasa
Aleihem, so when he's doing it for you, so then it's going to be us, sir, right? So you're bringing up an important point, though, is that when it comes to Shabbos, if there's going to be a rabbinic matter that's for the benefit of the adult... Right? Are we going to say that the child? Are we going to have to stop the? Are we going to have to tell the child not to do that? So, you know, let's say a muksa item, right? A muksa item that it's durabanan in nature, and the child wants to move it for the adult. In that situation, would the adult have to stop him? So remember, if it was a daraisa nature, you would have to stop him. But if it's in Rabbanan in nature, would the Rajba seemingly is saying that you would go down a darga, you're right, and you wouldn't have to stop in that situation.
You wouldn't be able to instruct him.
You wouldn't be able to instruct him to do it. Mm-hmm. Okay, so this is the opinion of the Rajba that seems to be somewhat of a leniency, big leniency. You could tell a child to eat a... something which is Asur D'Rabbanan, or to violate an Asur D'Rabbanan. Let's see the Rambam. The next source is the Mishnah Torah and Hilchas Shabbos. The Rambam quotes the halacha as follows. Katan sh'asa b'Shabbos davar shu mishum shvus. If a child is doing something on Shabbos which is only Asur Midrabbanan, k'goin sh'talash mi'atzat she'en anakav. Like, similar to the example the Gemara gave, he detached a plant from something that was growing in a pot, not something growing in the ground, something growing in a pot, which is only an Issur D'Rabbanan. Oitilto b'Karmelis, so he's carrying in a Karmelis, an area which is only Issur D'Rabbanan. Ein Bezdin Mitzuvin Lafrishai. The Rambam says, underlined, Bezdin is not obligated to stop him from doing that Issur D'Rabbanan. Okay, so let's look into that for a second. Well, Bezdin is like the Gemara says, means any adult, right? Okay, Bezdin is not obligated to stop him. Now, how would the Rajba phrase that? That halacha. If it's an Issur D'Rabbanan, what would the Rajba say?
You can even tell him
You can tell him you can do it. So the implication of this Rambam is that the most lenient thing that we can extend to is that the Rambam allows us to let it go, just not to stop him, not to interfere with the child who's violating the Rabbanan. But the Rambam would not agree to the Rajba's Chiddush. The Rambam does not agree to the Rajba's Chiddush that you're allowed to go and instruct the child to do a rabbinic a violation. Okay, so the Rambam is implicit that the same halacha that applies for a d'oraisa applies for a d'rabbanan. That the same halacha that a d'oraisa has, that you're not allowed, you don't have to stop him, but you're not allowed to instruct him, holds true for a d'rabbanan as well. So that means to say, if there's a muksa item that the child wants to move for the adult,
Harold,
right? If there's a muksa item that the child wants to move for the adult, you're not allowed to tell him to move it according to the Rambam. According to the Rajba, you could. Okay. Now, so we have right now a machlokas between the Rajba and the Rambam, two of the biggest Rishonim, and it's a very important matter, right? Because there's a lot that hangs on this. A lot of things that we have are derabbanan in nature. So,
and if he's moving the muksa for himself, that doesn't fall into this?
If the child's moving the muksa for himself, then even if it was a d'oraisa for himself, you wouldn't have to stop him.
That's what we said before.
Right, if he's doing d'oraisa for himself, then you wouldn't have to stop him on Shabbos.
He's doing it for himself. You don't have to stop him.
Right. Okay. But according to Rambam, you would not be able to instruct him. According to the Rashba, if it was rabbinic, you could instruct him. If it's d'oraisa, you would not be able to instruct him to do it.
If he's doing for his father,
if he's doing for Shabbos for his father,
then
you would have to stop him. And according to the Rambam, it seems to be even a d'rabbanan, you would have to stop him.
If it's for the father.
If it's for the father.
So the Rambam doesn't hold by
d'oraisa. Exactly. The Rambam just holds there's no difference between a d'rabbanan and a d'oraisa.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. Okay.
When he's doing it for the benefit of an adult.
When he's doing it for the benefit of an adult, you must stop him from Shabbos. And if it's a different matter, you can let it slide, as long as he's doing it on his own.
Mm-hmm.
All right, but either way, you're not allowed to instruct him to do it.
So what's the chiddush of the Rambam here then? If the child is allowed to do something on his own for the d'oraisa, right? So why does the Rambam specifically mention the shem shavuos?
Okay, so the Beis Yosef, the tour. Everyone asked that question. That's a great question. That's an excellent question. The chiddush of the Rambam, I think, is the other way that. Even though it's only d'rabbanan, you can only allow him to do it, but you can't instruct him. Harold, that's exactly the point, right? That's a great question. So boiling this down la halacha, let's see the Shulchan Aruch, the last source that I handed out. The Shulchan Aruch is in Simen Shin Mem Gimel, the second to last Simen in Chela Gimel in the Mishnah Brura, right at the end of Hilchas Shabbos. There's a halacha that goes as follows. And before we see the Shulchan Aruch, there's an important point that's going to kind of shake the boat over here and really rock things up. Because as we stand today, it seems to be that you can have a 10 or 11, 12-year-old child, or at least a boy, 10 or 11 for a girl, and they're doing malacha, they're flicking on the lights to their bedroom, and you don't have to say anything, right? They want to turn on the light on Shabbos, you don't have to say anything. Right? They want to turn it off, you don't have to say anything. Which kind of, is a hard pill to swallow. What does that mean? So we're going to see right now in the Shulchan Aruch that there's another point to this sugya, and the role of the father, and according to many poskim, the mother as well, is that there's an halach of chinuch. Chinuch means that we need to obligate, instruct a child, chanuch l'nar al pi darkai, right? That you educate a child when he's a nar, when he's young, and gam ki yazkin l'yazim men, when he gets older, right? He needs to be accustomed to doing practices of halacha, so that way when he gets older and becomes bar bas mitzvah, he knows what to do and he can continue on that in that way. So, because of chinuch, there's going to be a different role that the father has to play vis-a-vis another member of Klal Yisrael. So, even though we've said now that Bezdin doesn't have to stop him, but the father or mother might have to. Okay, so now we can begin the Shulchan Aruch. Katan oichal neveilos, a child who's eating nevela, non-kosher food, and for that matter, any Torah violation, ein bezdin mitzum lafrisha. As we saw from the Gemara, bezdin does not have to stop him. Aval, and here's the point I was just making, aval aviv mitzuva ligur boy ulafrishoy, but the father must yell at him, stop him, right, instruct him to stay away from it. Mi isser daraisa. Okay, so if it's an isser daraisa, the Rama puts in that, I'm sorry, I don't think that's the Rama. I'm just not sure. So if a child is doing an Isser Daraisa, according to the Rama, that the father has to stop him from doing it. So even though you and I, who see a child doing an Isser on Shabbos, we don't have to, or any other Isser for that matter, if he's under Bar Mitzvah, we don't have to stop him. But the father is obligated to stop his child from doing an Isser Daraisa. Ulachil will be adayim aser, and to feed him by hand, right, to instruct him to do it is aser. Afil dvarim shasurim medivrei seferim. Even something which is only rabbinic in nature, you're not allowed to give him by hand. So who is the Mechaber paskening like? Who is he siding with the Machlokas Rashba and Rambam? The Rambam. Very, very good. Right, he's siding with the opinion of the Rambam that you're not allowed to give a child an Isser Durabanan. Okay. So a father is not allowed to feed, or any person is not allowed to feed his a child an Isser Durabanan. V'chein Aser Lahargiloi B'chil Shabbos U'mayid. And you're not allowed to get him accustomed to violating Shabbos and Moed. Even if it's only rabbinic in nature, you're not allowed to get a child in that mode. Okay, so the idea is, as we would assume, that if a child is violating Shabbos, you need to stop him from doing this, so that he becomes accustomed to being Shomer Shabbos. Hagah. The Rama says, This is all with a child who has not reached chinuch age. But once he reaches chinuch age, you need to stop him. And the Rama means here, that means everybody and anybody. That not only the father has to instruct the child, but even if you're in shul and you see a child who's reached chinuch age, we'll talk about that in a second, you need to stop him from doing the malacha. Okay, so that every Jewish person, every Jewish adult, is obligated to stop a child from violating Shabbos. V'yeshamrim, but there's another opinion that says, and this is what we go with, d'loy shayach chinuch lebezdin ela av belvad, as we said initially, that chinuch does not apply to bezdin, only to the father. Okay, so only a father is obligated in chinuch. So where does this leave us? Well, the first thing we need to do is first figure out what chinuch age is. Any thoughts on that? When does chinuch start?
3 years old.
Okay, so the Gemara says that chinuch starts at 3 years old, and that's why we do an upsharing about being put on tzitzis to a child. But what it seems to be from the Gemara is that chinuch is a sliding scale, and that chinuch depends on each individual act. So, for instance, getting dressed and putting tzitzis on, right, that a child, when he's 3 years old, he's old enough to recognize what that means. Okay, what it means to get dressed, what it means to wear clothing, and what it means to wear tzitzis. When it talks about lulav, it says, when a child is old enough to shake the lulav, that's when you have to start educating him in lulav. Okay, which is a little bit older than three, right, when he knows, you know, the importance of that. Now, where does Shabbos fall on this? All right, where does Shabbos... When does a child get to recognize what Shabbos is?
And they come home from school and they say, "I'm Shabbos Tati."
Yeah, that's a good. That's not bad. You know, it's about the age. I'm not. You know, you should ask Rabbi Rabinowitz for the psak halacha over here. But the it's somewhere between 3 and 5, usually about 4 or 5, when a child is coming home and, you know, you tell them Shabbos and they know that it's a different day, right? They know that there's, you know, different treats on Shabbos. They know that there are things that they don't do on Shabbos. They feel Shabbos a little bit differently. And when you tell them something you call mukhs on Shabbos, you know, they recognize that there's something that they shouldn't be doing. So it's usually about 4 years old, 4 or 5 years old, is when chinuch starts for Shabbos, okay? So what that means here is that when a child reaches that 4 or 5, you know, exactly, you know, you ask the Rav what the exact age is, that at that point the father and mother would have to stop the child from doing the malacha. Okay, and that's chinuch. That doesn't matter whether it's rabbinic, deraisa, derabbanan. Doesn't matter if he's doing it for himself, he's doing it for an adult. Anyway, you need to tell him that this is asar on Shabbos. Okay? So these halachas that we started with, when a child is doing a malacha for himself, that's only to say if he's younger than the age of chinuch. That's when it's going to play a role. Okay, so when a child is doing a malacha for himself on Shabbos, then you don't have to stop him from doing it, assuming he's younger than the age of chinuch.
It's only with respect to the father.
Right. Respect to the father and mother, right?
Not to others.
But not others, okay? According to one opinion in the Ramah, which I believe is certainly worth being machmer, but... right, the Chayyadim says for a daraisa we should be machmer like this. So if you see a child in shul doing an Issa daraisa, it's worthwhile stopping him from doing that. Okay, because according to one opinion in the Ramah, you're supposed to stop him. Or you live in an area without an Eruv, well, that's probably only Darabanan. But if you see a child doing an Issa daraisa, you would have to, it's kedai to be machmer and to tell him to stop.
Are there about a Darabanan also, no?
What? Right, but there's a machlokes in the Ramah whether there's chinuch on Bezdin, on a regular Jew.
Saying, but if you, but, right.
Right, so the Chai Adam is saying,
just a
machmer on the Ramah for Malacha Daraisa.
So this means, going back to the Mishnah, that where you have a problem with the keys, that's only with a young child.
Well, assuming they weren't the father, right? If those rabbanim were not the parents, so they were allowed. They didn't have to stop the child from doing the malacha derabbanan in that situation.
Assuming it's derabbanan, right?
Assuming that it's there was deraisa. Yeah. So that would be a good proof that Bezdin is not mitzvah lafrishoy. Right? Bezdin doesn't have to stop and doesn't have chinuch. That. So Barry, you're right. There are two ways to learn that Gemara right now. Either that's talking about where the children were like 4 years old and they were younger than chinuch, or alternatively, you could say that situation is talking about where they were older and were going like the opinion that Bezdin and anybody other than the father and mother are not obligated in chinuch. Okay.
What about the point, though, that the solution was send them there to play?
So that's exactly the point, is that they weren't telling them, go get the keys.
Right.
They were just saying, play around over here, you know, see what happens. So that much you can do. So like this, if you the light's on Shabbos, right, you can take your three-year-old and let him stand up on a chair next to the light and see what happens. Okay, you can't take his hand and put it right next to the switch, right? You can't do that, and you can't go and tell him turn off the light. Okay, but if you bring a chair there and tell, you know, to go play next to the light switch, see what happens, right? That would be permissible, right? That would be permissible, assuming he's under the age of chinuch.
Right.
We're talking about under the age of chinuch, you know, less than 5, probably about 4. So it's a very small window between the age that he's old enough to, you know, stand up on the chair and figure out what happens when you play with a light switch and the point when chinuch starts. So it's a very small window, 3 or 4.
Could you bring the kid near there?
Yes.
And on his own, he plays with the light.
Yes. Okay. Simcha Ben Kohen talks about
so
that.
So you don't got to put him on a chair. You know, you just stand there with him. Stand there with the two-year-old who loves turning on the or even the one and a half that loves turning on and off the switch.
Yeah. And you got a five-year-old looking at him saying, Tati, what are you doing?
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
What are we doing? You got to stop him before they turn
back.
What? The mother take a five-year-old.
I just asked him that. I just asked him that.
If you're just holding him like this, and you were talking about where you're holding his hand, right?
Not really, no.
Okay, well, if you're just holding the child and he's going on his own,
you can hold the child when he's doing it.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, as long as you're not telling him to do it and you're not pushing his.
But that's still below the age of kiddo.
The age of kiddo, yeah.
What do we do with an adult that didn't have any hinuch?
Oh, yeah, that's a good point.
Now we have, you know...
Right. So you got a time to stop. Let's go.
Right. So practically speaking here, I'll give you a practical example where, you forgot to turn off the lights in your refrigerator, in your freezer, and then the door got opened. Right, I remember this happened, but it happened by us. Right, the door got open. Now the light's on in the freezer. Now you and I are not allowed to close that door to shut off to turn off the light. Okay, but to bring a child there and have him close the door, presumably assuming that he's under the age of chinuch, that would be okay. There's no problem in doing it. You can't instruct him to do it, but so long as it's he's just doing it. He's not doing it for you. He's not doing it for the adult. Then it'll be permissible.
Let's take away the father-son relationship or the parent-child relationship. What if it's, there is no requirement of chinuch? So it's a situation where you're, let's say, in shul or something, and the light, wasn't gone.
So for it's right. So right. So we would be able to be mako with the rav's, haskama. You would be able to.
Sure,
what happened, Mo?
Call the rabbi to do what? What are you doing?
What do you want to do?
It sounds like you want the child to be over on a drabanan, below the age of chinuch.
No, above the age of chinuch.
Above the age.
Don't tell the father. The father doesn't know.
Oh, so we saw that a person is supposed to be machmer like the chay. There's supposed to be machmer.
Deraisa.
But you're not allowed to tell him to do it.
You're not.
But you're not telling him.
I'm talking about telling him. Talking about, we were saying you hold the kid near the light switch, or you put him in the room or whatever it is. So, let's say you've got a kid above the age of four, or above the age of enough, but it's not the parent of the child, and it's a derabbanan.
Theoretically, you could let him do it.
If he's doing it on his own.
Are you trying to prevent him from doing it over there?
No, you're trying to get him to shut the light.
No. Right. So
put on the light.
Yeah. I think there's a difference between taking a two-year-old over to a light switch and taking an eight-year-old over to an oven and having him trying to shut it off. There's a big difference.
Not an eight-year-old. He's ready to chil chinuch. I'm not sorry. Yeah. Okay.
All right. So at that point, you're like. Telling you, you're giving it to him.
Yeah, he's trying to create a scenario where you somehow or another just went ahead and plop the kid down in that room. You put the kid down in that room with the hopes that hey, maybe he's gonna
do something for us.
You wouldn't have to stop him.
You wouldn't have to. It's a
funny situation, but theoretically.
Right. So, for a malacha d'araisa. Right. If it's a malacha d'araisa, let's remember that it's going to be usher to do. Right. It's going to be usher to give him. Obviously, it's going to be usher to give him the malacha. For the malacha,
you have to stop him.
And you're going to have to stop if he's doing it for an adult.
A d'araisa even for himself, you don't have to stop him.
He's not
chayim mitzvah. No, he's
chayim gilachinach. No, I'm talking pachas migilachinach. If he's lower than the age of chinuch, if he's lower than the age of chinuch, then there's no obligation to stop him from doing the malach on Shabbos.
Drabbanan.
Unless you put him in a situation where he might be doing something, he might be turning a light off that you want on. Please keep
him
away.
Right.
Yeah.
That's correct.
That's not
easy. Right. Isn't it? So, the Chayyad by the Raisa, you said, it's machmer like the sheet.
Like the sheet that everyone has the Chiyav of Chinuch. that everyone has a chiyuv of chinuch.
Isn't there like a question like chinuch, is it on the father or on the child? So if it's on the child, meaning then you cannot really encourage him to do an aver because it's his mitzvah.
It's his mitzvah.
And if you're not the father even, then you cannot.
Yeah, it's complicated. Yeah, you're right. There is an opinion like that. But that even if it's a mitzvah on the child, still the father has to help the child with that mitzvah.
Yes, but if you're in a room and you're not his father and you want him to do an avera, I don't think you can encourage him if the mitzvah is on the child. If it's a mitzvah on the father...
When you say encourage, do you mean tell him or put him in that situation?
I don't know. I mean, maybe there's many scenarios we have to distinguish.
Right.
But generally speaking, if it's on the child...
Right. I got the
situation.
Okay.
Okay. We're in Walden. The Erev is down.
Okay.
Okay, but it went down on Shabbos. He doesn't know that the Erev is down. He's standing outside the door of your house, somebody else's kid. He said, "Oh, I dropped the
keys
key over there." That's all you say. Can you allow the 8-year-old to pick up the key? The 8-year-old doesn't know the Erev is down, right?
Right. So the halacha is like this. Whoa. It's a very good scenario, but I don't know if I speak.
What's the difference if he knows or he doesn't know?
Mm-hmm. So,
would it be amazing? Okay, you don't want to make him amazed. I mean, make a difference if he knows the Erev is down or not?
Let's say even if he knows the Erev is down, even if the 8-year-old knows the Erev is down, the halacha is like this, and I'll double check with the Rav, but I think the halacha would be, because even with the Erev down, it's only Drabbanan. Okay, because we live in it, we don't have Rosh Hashanah and Daraisa, so we're talking about an Issa Drabbanan. And the Rajba says that for an Issa Drabbanan, you're allowed to tell the child directly to do the Malacha. And even though the Shulchan Aruch goes with the Rambam, the Poskim say, B'makam Tzarech, you can rely on the Rajba. So if the Erev had gone down, and it's a Makam Tzarech, you got to get indoors. So you can instruct the child to go bring you the key to go and open up the house for you. Okay? And certainly because the child himself needs to go in the house, so it's not only for the father, it's also for the child himself. So in that situation, I'm fairly confident it's good. It's a very good scenario. Okay, so to sum up, I think what we've learned today is that it's not just a carte blanche. It's not you don't have a free ticket until bar mitzvah to go and play with the children and have them be your Shabbos guy, if you were. But on the other hand, there is a window of leniency that there is room to play in, not to play with halacha, but to work with halacha that we can go and for the needs of a child, he can go and do a malacha, and that we don't have to stop him from doing that malacha. But once he reaches the age of chinuch, it is incumbent upon the father to do it. And I'll just finish with Rabbi Akiva Eiger as a tshuva. His response, where somebody said to him, in an area without an era, very similar to what Harold was saying, that the father wanted some svarim to be brought to shul. So the person said, according to the Rajba, it should be permissible to instruct a child to do a malacha d'rabbanan. Presumably, there's no rishus haram d'raisa, so without an erev, it's only d'rabbanan. So let's tell the child to do to violate the d'rabbanan on Shabbos. So Rabbi Akiva Eiger, what?
Rajba says it's even above the age of chinuch.
In the absence of chinuch, right? Without the chinuch component, let's just say it's another person.
It says anything about chinuch.
He doesn't mention chinuch, right? Okay. That's the absence of chinuch. So the Rebbe Akiva Eiger says very clearly that the child cannot do it for the father, but what you could do, says Rebbe Akiva Eiger, is have the child carry his own sefer, assuming that there's no siddurim in shul, so he needs a sitter to daven from. He can carry a sitter, and the father can look on with the child in shul. He can use the child's sitter. So that would be, that's Rabbi Akiva Eiger's solution. That much you would be allowed to do. You wouldn't have to stop him because it's only a d'rabbanan, again, without the chinuch component. Now that we're adding on that chinuch component, you have to see, maybe the child's 4 years old, but once he would get older than that, then you would have to start to instruct him about the laws of Shabbos. So again, I want to thank you for inviting me here. It's always a pleasure to come. And I wish everyone a continued hatzlacha, ubracha, and a wonderful day.
Shkayach.